Welcome to Tantra Talks. This podcast is brought to you by Tantra Labs and hosted by Tantra's CTO, Russell LaCour, and creative director, Brecky Von Bitcoin. Please note, all opinions expressed by Brecky, Russell, or their guests on this podcast are solely their own and do not reflect the opinions of Tantra Labs, Inc. You should not treat any opinion expressed by Brecky, Russell, or their guests as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of their opinions. This podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Previously only open to accredited investors, Tantra Labs will soon be open to the public, offering 12% interest on your Bitcoin. That's higher than our competitors and much higher than your bank. To learn more, visit tantralabs.io. All right, now back to the show.
What's up, guys? Thank you for joining us today. This podcast is going to be about Tantra Labs and really what we've been up to over the last 12 to 14 months now, and updating you guys on the progress that we've made in our own internal portfolio and how we operate, talking more about kind of the internals of what we're investing in, why we're investing in it, what we're putting our development resources in, and what we're really paying attention to. So today, joining me, I've got our CFO, Kagnar, and our magical man who does all things behind the scenes, Josh Verosny. And I probably shouldn't call you Kagnar on this pod. So,
and Kagan, COO, not CFO.
You're going to make me redo that whole intro because you wear multiple hats?
Well, I think it's just confusing to people.
Well, startups are confusing, man.
I agree.
So, okay, our COO, Kagan Atkinson, thank you for joining us. And thank you, Josh, for joining us today. I know you're in the midst of algo development, so it's nice to have you out here in the open talking about what's going on.
Definitely. Can I get a last name also for me? Kagan Atkinson.
Josh Verosny. Joshua Verosny.
Love it.
Awesome. Get that fame and fortune. You don't even have a Twitter. I don't think anybody's going to want to see you shirtless on Instagram.
Debatable.
Okay. Well, you can find Josh Verosny shirtless on Instagram. Insert Instagram name here, Josh.
Okay. No, it's okay.
Okay. Let's get into it. So what I want to talk about first is the main swap that we did over the last 12 months, which is about 12 months ago, we started development on our new algorithmic system, which is written from the ground up in a language called Golang. If you're not technical, that's all right. Golang is a new software language developed by Google. It's extremely fast, extremely functional is the word that you might call it. And it makes development, especially for us, very easy and modular, which is why we wanted to use it. So about 12 months ago, we all sat down and we figured out that the way in which we develop algorithms, we wanted it to be plug and play. We wanted to be able to take this module or this idea and plug it in with this idea and make something work rather than having to write all the code from scratch or start from the beginning every time we had a new idea. We wanted to be able to pull from old ideas. So over the last 12 months, we've been testing and building, and finally, about 4 weeks ago now, we released our Tantra Portfolio 2.0, as we're calling it, where we moved our entirety of our AUM over to this new Golang system on 27 different algorithms running two main portfolios on Bitcoin and Ethereum. And we're really excited about it. And I'll go ahead and let Josh talk a little bit and update you guys on kind of the main differences in this portfolio and one of the reasons why we're so excited about it and why we're really happy that we were able to finish up our Golang development.
Right. So Russell mentioned a lot of points there. I think a point that he hit on is how quickly this new system is. We had been programming on Python. Our complete development system was on Python. We switched over to Golang, which made my life 100 times easier and made my testing ability 100 times faster. Basically, to give you an example, with the last system, when I wanted to run a test, let's say for 2 years over a strategy, it would take around 5 minutes on the low end, whereas now we can run tests in sub 10 seconds. So that's amazing.
And the fidelity of those tests, right? So before we were looking at less data, now we're running 3 million data points in seconds versus 30,000 data points in minutes.
Exactly. We're able to get to a level where we can see where we failed on the minute level in the test. Did it happen live? And match up those live and test scenarios. Mainly what I have been focusing on has been probabilistic trading. The main crux of our algorithmic portfolio is, can we catch trends? Can we mean revert? And all the testing that I do is to see statistically, if we're following a signal, are we going to be more profitable than not over a specific period of time? So being able to be on this new Golang system, test through 25 strategies 100 times faster than we were in the past, it's extremely powerful.
And I want to add a point there on the fidelity. We've actually completely built a mock exchange with this new system. So we mimic all the same functionality that an exchange does, all of the events, all of the responses that an exchange makes. Our system now does that in its own simulations. And so that just gives you that extra ability to understand and validate a specific strategy like Josh just discussed.
Yeah, it was, Josh mentioned it too. It's like before we built the model that we had before in Python, we basically set it up in a way where we modeled in a certain level of volatility or randomness. But now that we're operating and we can pull in more data, we have a much more realistic idea of what that volatility model is and what that volatility looks like. So our variance or the tolerance of test versus live and how the algorithm's working in the live environment because of this mock exchange is hundreds of times better than we had before. And so it just increased all of our confidence dramatically. And then Josh, without getting too deep into it, can you kind of talk about the dynamics of the new portfolio and kind of how we are, like our confidence in the market is much more dynamic now, where before it was much more rigid,
right?
Because of all the different algorithms we're running.
Yeah. So due to the quickness of this new system, we're basically able to pump out much more algorithms. With our portfolio 2.0, we're able to aggregate all those algorithms together and give weights to certain algorithms in the portfolio. And we're able to be much more reactive to the market than we were before. Whereas before, we would wait for a signal, get in or out. Now we're able to get multiple signals at once and make our decision to be in and out of the market based on a basket of algorithms together. And it's really helped us become much more reactive to price action.
Which, especially in this market, we need that. And so let's talk about the current market conditions too, because this week we did some uncovering and, you know, we talked about this a lot before, but now as we're getting more data, we're really seeing the truth of it. So 2016 versus 2020 and what they look like.
Yeah, I'll say a few things about it. I didn't dive too deep into what research you did. But it seems that the drops recently in the market are extremely quick. It tends to trend back up to what it fell from. This is pretty much what happened in 2016, where you see the price steadily increasing, then a very quick drop, and then steadily increasing again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the analysis that we did and that you can see even on in the algorithmic level is, you know, how do you navigate a market that's trending upwards and then just sharply drops? You know, how do you bet on it or against it or decide to not play the game at all? And something that we noticed was, one, it's an election year, two, it's a halving year, and three, it's almost identical. So when we look at the price action now versus the price action in 2016, we're seeing a lot of similarities in the profile of the market. So it's not necessarily that the price action is identical, but overall, the way the market behaves is very, very closely correlated. And so we're seeing that same correlation in our portfolio. And in this new portfolio, it's able to navigate it in a way that I think we're all very comfortable with, and we're all very excited to see not only the next few months, but the next few years of how a portfolio like this is able to capture alpha in this market. So is there anything else that you guys wanted to add on the 2.0 portfolio release?
Yeah. In regards to the increase in our ability to test at higher fidelity. So higher fidelity just meaning at a more granular level, we're able to simulate reality better. And because of that, we're now able to get in and out of the market much faster because we've been able to fully test the impact of an algorithm like that. And so because we're able to do that, we're now able to navigate choppier markets, range-bound markets like we've had in 2016, like we're having now in 2020, without giving up the ability to capture trending markets like we're likely going to see in 2021 and beyond. I wanted to make sure we brought up the other changes in the way that we manage funds. And not only do we allocate to the portfolio 2.0 that we've been talking about, but we also have a portion of our funds that are allocated to more risk-averse strategies, which basically mean they have very limited downside or no downside. And these strategies involve essentially capturing a spread between two different types of Bitcoin or Ethereum exposure. And when I say exposure, I really just mean there's different ways to buy Ethereum or Bitcoin. You can buy a futures contract. You can buy a Grayscale product on the stock exchange right from your retirement account. You can also buy the actual asset. You can buy a option to buy the asset in the future at a given price. So there's many ways now to get exposure to these assets. And these different products have actually 100x since last year, these different types of derivative products, especially
in volume.
Thank you. Yeah. So the demand for these products is significant. And so we as a trading firm are able to come into that marketplace and with very little risk, we're able to capture a spread and earn a very consistent return or a consistent yield. So this combination of low risk with our trend following portfolio creates a very nice risk profile, where we are able to get the most out of the market while taking the least amount of risk.
Well said. And to talk about it a little bit more in depth to, or just to explain it in terms maybe people understand, it really is arbitrage. And as a trading business, arbitrage is where we can make a deterministic stationary trade. So we're able to execute on an opportunity where someone's buying it for a dollar and someone is willing to sell it for a dollar and somewhere else in a different location, on a different exchange, on a DEX, whatever, wherever it is willing to buy that same thing that you just bought for a dollar. They're willing to buy it for $1.01. And so when we analyze different opportunities like this, we try to take advantage of them and automate them in a way where they do fit into our overall portfolio. And because we're cutting out the middleman and you're lending straight to us, we're able to offer 12% and give you a lot of the upside, because in crypto right now, a lot of those opportunities pop up very regularly where we're able to earn 1%, 2%, 3%, even sometimes 5% to 20% on a trade. And we're able to pass that on to our lenders directly.
In combination with the portfolio 2.0 and everything we've been talking about over the last 12 months, we've devoted significant resources, which is primarily my responsibility, into the operations of the business. And that primarily is centered around accounting and bookkeeping. And it's really fun stuff, I promise you guys. But ultimately,
I don't believe you when you say that.
It's not fun. Ultimately, we could not have delivered this retail app without investing time into fully automating our books and fully automating our accounting so that everything is audited in real time. And essentially what that means is when you go into the retail app and you're getting a unique Bitcoin address or Ethereum address, you're able to deposit that and your funds are tracked throughout our system. Your interest is tracked, your payouts are tracked, and all of this stuff is happening in a automated fashion. So we don't need to hire an army of accountants to untangle what people are owed or what we need to report in 1099s and things like that. Mm-hmm. So if you're out there building a crypto-oriented business or investing in crypto, I think everyone knows that sometimes the tax reporting can be somewhat of a burden. My main piece of advice is to get ahead of it and do it in advance. Don't wait until you're already live to try to build this type of automation, and you'll be happy. We've had a very huge return on that investment we made.
Well, I think you brought up a really great point because we're technically in private beta right now, but really we've been in private beta for the last 2 years with much larger investors. And this private beta is more with like smaller investors and exponentially more, right? Like we went from, I think we had 15 large investors to now we have over 75. So we're really just kind of pushing on the gas pedal little by little, making sure that there's nothing wrong. And so far everything's worked flawlessly exactly as we set it up to. And so we're really revving the engine, getting ready to onboard as many people as we can.
Yeah, absolutely. I think in the past, bringing on a lender was a much more manual process. You can kind of see with the way that we segmented who was able to come on, it was a small group of people with really large allocations. And with the automation in place, now we can have anyone come on with essentially any deposit amount.
And while we're here, because we talked about this the other day and I want to make sure it's recorded for everyone to hear, you're going to allow me to start onboarding USDT soon too, right?
I think that we should at some point in the future.
All right, great. I just wanted to make sure everybody heard it loud and clear straight from you, and then I could play this back whenever you tell me no.
Well, let's talk about it for a minute, because ultimately we try to devote our resources to the things that will serve our lenders the best, right? And that's being a sustainable business and allocating our capital and our expenses in the most efficient ways. But we also have to look at like how do things help increase adoption? And you cannot deny the fact that using a stablecoin on Ethereum has a significant use case, especially when interest rates are zero and people don't have a way to earn interest on their dollars without risking it all in the stock market. So I know you brought this up many times. I see the light.
Yep.
I think offering USDC or USDT definitely can help bolster our ability to bring more people into the Bitcoin community and help them, you know, get exposure and get that schmuck insurance as the dollar declines.
Absolutely. And I won't talk too crazy, but there, I think once we get to that point and as we get to a point where our loans don't need to be locked for 12 months, I believe that we can start offering products that suit more people and allow people to hold balances with us and also spend those balances in real time. And that's really, I think, a service that I would love to offer, where not only can you earn a great interest rate by having a quantitative hedge fund like us manage your money, but also you have direct access to it in real time, which is something that cryptocurrency offers. And I've been looking at a few different options for us to potentially even offer a debit card where, you know, you're holding your money with our account balance, but you're earning interest and you're able to spend it. And I think that giving people that power and that ability, like if you could sign up for a checking account that gives you 10% APR, who wouldn't do that? Like, why would you not? So hopefully within the next 12 to 24 months, we can make that a real reality for not only our lenders, but for the business, because I would love to have that.
So now you guys get to see what I have to deal with.
Yeah. So Kagan, after
this constantly moving the goalposts, constantly moving the goalposts.
The visionary.
But I do agree. I think as far as our counsel goes, it's a lot easier to roll things out, like Russ just talked about, outside of the United States. So we may be taking that to heart.
And I do think that there are companies within the United States that are going to push regulations along that'll help us get that done in the US. But right now we're really just seeing, okay, we want to innovate. And if we want to do it without it breaking the bank, we need to do it outside of the US. And when the US opens up the doors and lets us do it inside of the country, then we'll start to do that. But for now, it's really just too costly. It's just, I mean, Kagan, you can share if you want, but I know I've said it before. I think half of the money that we've spent as a business has been on legal. And
yeah,
it's just, it's insane. There's just so many things that we could do for our lenders and for our investors that just make way more sense than paying some lawyer $1,000 an hour to tell us to fuck off.
Yeah. Well, I think what a lot of people don't realize is that Square Cash and Coinbase are still not allowed in all the states.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, so if a company worth, you know, $10 to $20 billion can't get it done compliantly, then how do you expect startups to scale these types of services? So that's why most startups start small with private betas or start outside of the United States.
Yep. So thank you for joining us today, guys. I hope that that was educational for our listeners and for you guys to get a glimpse at what we've been doing over the last 12 months and the progress that we're making and ultimately what our vision is and where we're headed. We look forward to hearing any feedback from you guys or questions that you may have. We want to do another podcast similar to this where we're going to talk about the services that we use, like Fireblocks and Unchained, why we went with them, the research that we did before we went with them, and really to share with you guys what's going on behind the scenes at Tantra so that you guys can feel comfortable when you do lend us your capital that it's going to good use and that we're going to be able to make you a return on your crypto. So thank you for tuning in, and I hope you have a great week.
See you guys.
See ya.
If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, consider leaving us a positive review, and sharing us with your friends. Previously only open to accredited investors, Tantra Labs will soon be open to the public, offering 12% interest on your Bitcoin. That's higher than our competitors and much higher than your bank. To learn more, visit tantralabs.io. Thanks for listening.